Shavuos Perek Zayin Mishnehei 7-5 and the fifth of the five exceptions where a person can take a shvua and collect. And this is the Chenvani al Pinkaso, the shopkeeper based on his ledger. That's the literal translation here. Now, the Mishnah says Ketzad. What does that look like? What's the case? Lo Shiyomer Lo, it isn't the following case. And this is really quite unusual for the Mishnah to say what it isn't. Okay, that's what the Gemara oftentimes does when it tries to explain and understand the case of the Mishnah. But here the Mishnah is explicit and says, it's not that the shopkeeper says to the Baal HaBayis, the client, Kasuv al pin kasi sha'at achayev li matayim zuz. It's written in my book that you owe me 200 zuz. And since it says it, it must be true, you have to pay. That's not the case. And you would ask yourself, so first of all, okay, let that be the case. That's fine. So then why is the Mishnah saying this? So the idea is that really, under normal circumstances, if the shopkeeper says to the client, you know, you owe me money, I have written down, and the client says, no, I'm not nothing doing, so then it's a motzim l'chaver l'avarai. The burden of proof sits on the shopkeeper to prove it, and the fact that it's written down doesn't prove anything. He could have written it down by accident just because of thought of accident, the same thing. So the point of the mission here is you might have thought that since essentially all commercial transactions or many commercial transactions, that certainly the ones that happen at the Chenvani, at the shop, are done on credit. And the way it used to work, really until very recently, I remember in Rav Beit Shemesh, it was going on like this way into 2010 or later, 2020. You'd go to your local Makolet and you'd have an account. You'd say, put out my cheshbon, and they'd write down on a little index card how much you owe. Then once in a while, when it gets big enough, then you have to, you know, settle your debt. So that's how it worked in the Mishnah's time as well. In the Mishnah, was even more the case that people didn't have cash lying around. They didn't have credit cards. You know, they couldn't just swipe their phone or something to charge. So therefore, people didn't have cash handy at all, and therefore they worked, you know, on credit, and they paid once in a while when they had cash to hand. So therefore, you might have thought incorrectly, says the Mishnah, that for the sake of Tikkun Olam, for the sake of, you know, the world to work properly, and people to be able to, you know, shopkeepers to be comfortable lending credit, you might have thought the rabbis protected them and said, listen, the shopkeeper's credit, if they wrote it down, we believe them. They could swear and collect. The Mishnah says, no, that's not the case. It will always be a motzim b'chaver l'avarai to make such a dispensation for the shopkeeper. But what is the case? Ela amarlo, so the client, you know, the Baal HaBayis says to the shopkeeper, ten levnim sasaim chitin, do me a favor, my son's coming. Can you please give him, you know, a bushel of wheat, you know, two sacks of wheat? Or ten le poalai beselamals. You know, my workers need to get paid at the end of the day. You have a cash register full of cash. I have no cash. Do me a favor. You just give them the cash. You know, you have small change, and I'll settle up with you later on. Now, the cases are equal, but the Mishnah essentially only now discusses the latter case about the workers because it's much more interesting. Because what happens is that the shopkeeper is now turning to the client and saying, listen, it's written here in my ledger, I laid out money for your workers. You have to reimburse me. Okay? But what's happening is that the client says that his employees are claiming they didn't get paid. So now he's being asked from two directions to pay. The shopkeeper is saying, you have to reimburse me. And the employee said, we never got the money. So he'd have to pay in both directions. So that's the scenario where we're going to allow the shopkeeper to take a shvua, to swear, and collect. Now, the idea here is that we have what's called reglaim ledavar. We have a basis to believe the shopkeeper because the client admits, they're witnesses or he admits it, that he requested that the shopkeeper give his employees their due. So since we know that he did request it, and we see the shopkeeper says it happened, whether he from memory or if he wrote it down, even if he just wrote it down, doesn't even remember specifically. But there's certainly base to believe it. If the shopkeeper is prepared to swear that he laid out the money based on his records or his recollection, we would believe him and the client would have to pay. Because of this reglaim ledavar, because it seems reasonable because we know that he didn't make the request in the first place. So we assume that the request was carried out. Now, facing the employees say, listen, you might want to trust your Chenvani, but we don't trust him. We don't trust the shopkeeper. All we know is we didn't get paid, and you need to pay us now. So you'll have to pay twice. And the Mishnah is going to say in a moment that he'll have to swear to them. Sorry, they'll have to swear to him also. The employees will swear to this employer they didn't get paid, and they'll collect again. Now, let me just say it outside first. So now, if you recall back to Bava Metzia, Perek Yud Mishnah Zayin, 10:7, there's the Mishnah distinguishes between two cases where the plaintiff, the tovea, has a tainus bari. He's saying for certain he's owed money. And the defendant, the nitba, is saying, shema, I'm not sure if I owe you the money. Now, it differentiates between two kinds of cases. Case number one is where the defendant says, yes, I know that at one point I did owe you the money. Maybe I stole from you, maybe I borrowed from you, maybe I bought something from you and said I'd pay you. But I just don't recall whether or not I actually made you whole. So in that case, the Mishnah says, well, stop. The plaintiff says he knows he wasn't made whole. The defendant says, I know I did owe you, but I'm not sure if I paid you back. So that's not good enough. In that case, we would make the defendant pay. I'll call it, quote unquote, again, from his perspective. Okay? No shvuah required. Because bari against shema, but the shema is like a dud shema. The shema is a weak shema because he's saying, I don't know if I paid you, but I agree I did once owe you the money. So that's, you know, that would be the status quo. That would be the chazaka. In the other case, the plaintiff is saying, I know you owe me money. Defendant says, I'm not sure. I don't recall if I ever owed you money. I'm not sure if I ever borrowed money from you or bought that thing from you or stole money from you. So I'm not sure I ever owed you money. And I don't recall if I'm pretty sure if I would have, I would have reimbursed you. So I'm not sure that I owe it to you now. So that's, a shema, I'm not sure. But here it's a bari against shema. The plaintiff is saying, I'm certain. The defendant is saying, I'm not sure if I ever owed you money or owe you money now. And we say that a bari is not adif, is not powerful enough relative to the shema, the maybe claim, to allow the bari, the certain claim, to force the shema person to pay. We don't say that. We say, it's not good enough. Okay? So in the case of our Mishnah here, before we get into any takanas derabanan, which is the point of our Mishnah, so these two claims of the Mishnah, one of the Chenvani and one of the employees, are the two different sorts that we talked about a moment ago in the Mishnah and Bava Kama. Because when it comes to the employees, so the employer doesn't dispute they did work. He doesn't dispute he had to pay them. He's just not sure if they got paid. So they're saying, well, we're sure we didn't. So they are certain they didn't get paid. He's not certain whether they got paid, but he knows he did once owe them, and therefore he'll have to pay them ikra din. Okay, no shvu required. On the flip side, when it comes to the shopkeeper, so the shopkeeper is saying, I paid, laid out money for you. The client that now is saying, I'm not sure if you did or didn't. Maybe you never did. So it's one's word against the other. And there, we would not force the defendant to pay. So here the defendant, the nitva, is the client. The tovea, the plaintiff, is the shopkeeper saying, I want to get reimbursed. And now, just because he's certain with a bari claim, the defendant, the shema, could say, I don't know. I can't be forced to pay. The chiddush of the Mishnah, the ikar chiddush of the Mishnah, is that the rabbi said, in such a scenario, since it's reglayim ledavar, since we know, although we don't know if the shopkeeper actually laid out the money, we do know that he was clearly requested to do so, and therefore the client trusted him by making that claim. He had trust going on, and therefore we will believe the shopkeeper enough that he can collect, notwithstanding that usually motzim b'chaver levaraya, he'll be able to collect in this bari versus shema case, provided that the plaintiff, shopkeeper, is prepared to swear he's owed the money. That's the ikar chiddush. Now, in addition, the Mishnah is going to say, listen, on the flip side, the poor client's employers have to pay twice. They have to pay again to the employees, and then again, if you will, to the shopkeeper. So he's playing twice. That's a great shame. And therefore the rabbi said, okay, fine, he has to do it. But just as the shopkeeper has to swear in order to get paid, so too do the employees. They have to swear they didn't get paid, and then he'll pay him maybe a second time or for the first time, you know? He'll have to pay him. From his perspective, he'll have to pay a second time because he's paying two times, one to the shopkeeper, one to them. So that's another shavua. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says up to here. And the Mishnah's not focused on that latter one, really. It's focused, the primary point of the Mishnah is the former, between the shopkeeper to collect and to get reimbursed. That's the Chenvani al Pinkaso. So that's what the Mishnah says inside. Hu omer nasati. The shopkeeper says, I gave the employees the money you were supposed to, as per your request. V'hein omrim lo natalnu. They, the employees, say, well, we didn't get paid. We didn't take the money. We didn't get the money. Hu nishma v'notel. So therefore, the shopkeeper can make a shvua and collect. And v'hein nishban v'notlin. And they can also take a shvua and collect. So they'll have to, they both collect, and the client/employer pays both of them. Okay? And therefore, there's sort of two interesting shuls going on that are both rabbinic in nature. Now, fine. That will be the din, lahalacha, like the chita. In fact, more than that, the requirement is that both the shopkeeper and the employees swear in front of each other, despite, in addition to swearing to the client's employer, because the thought is they would be extra embarrassed if they're lying, right? They have to tell the truth, and they're looking these employees in the eye and saying, I paid you, and they know they didn't, and vice versa. Okay, now, that's a din, but Benanas in our Mishnah objects this whole thing. He says, stop. Okay, according to the Gersa in front of us, the issue is like this. Benanas says, listen, if you're making the shopkeeper swear he paid them, and the employees say he swear they didn't get paid, someone's for sure lying. So the Bezdin is forcing someone to be Mechal Shem Shemayim and lie. And therefore, we're not going to do that. So according to the Gersa we have in front of us, Amar Benanas, Ketzad, how's it going to work? Elu ban li de shvu shav. What are you talking about, says Benanas? If that's the setup, they're both going to come to swear falsely. The truth is, shvu shav isn't the same as shvu sheker, and this is really a shvu sheker, swearing falsely. Shvu shav normally would mean like an oath in vain, which is not what's happening here technically. We learn about those earlier on the Masechta, but this is really a reference to the fact that the pasuk, which prohibits doing this, swearing falsely, that's what's going on over here. You know, that pasuk says, ki lo yinakeh Hashem es asher yisa es shemo leshav. Hashem won't forget the person who takes his name in vain, and that's what we're referring to over here. So Benanas' point is, we're bringing in shvuas, either bringing the Shem Hashem or not, that was Mechuk Hashem from before, but the point is that we're not going to force someone to violate and do a terrible crime of swearing falsely. No, why should the Bezdin do that? No. So therefore Benanas says, since we can't do that, plan B will be Ela Hu Notel Shalo Bishvua Vehen Nolin Shalo Bishvua. According to the Gersa in front of us, everyone takes, meaning that both the shopkeeper and the employees will get paid from the client slash employer without a Shvua. Now, there's another Gersa floating around, not in front of us, but other Rishonim have, which I think stands more to reason, which is that the gear says Elohim, meaning the workers, notlin shelo b'shvua, they take without having to swear. Because anyways, like I told you before, me'ikar adin, if they say for certain they weren't paid, and the employees say they for certain weren't paid, that's a bari claim, and the employer says, I'm not sure, but I know I did owe you at one time, then the din is me'ikar adin, they can collect, in that point, that a bari is stronger than a shema and can force the shema to pay, because the shema is conceding that there was an obligation at one point. So the certain claim trumps the uncertain claim. Me'ikar adin, no shvu required. So that will stand. As far as the other situation between the storekeeper and his client, so we said me'ikar adin, the storekeeper, hamotzo mechaver levarai, shouldn't be able to collect because he hasn't got witnesses that he paid, but we'll let him take a shvua and collect. Only one side takes the shvua. That's how the other version of the in the Rishonim, according to Benanas, is. At all events, halacha is not like Benanas, halacha is like Tanakama, so both parties swear in front of one another, and then the Bal HaBayis will pay them both.